This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Sky Blues Extra podcast in association with Dylan's Brewery and the Sky Blue Tavern. Dean back in the hot seat this evening, joined by David Moore. Dave, glad to have you with me this evening. How are you?
Yeah, good to be here, mate. And, you know, in good spirits around the Sky Blues. It's been pretty good three-game run, isn't it?
Yeah, we should be. You know, undefeated week. It's not often we can say that as a Coventry City fan, that's for sure. I don't think anybody would have predicted 7 points in the return from these three games. So I think everyone could go into the international break with a smile on their face for a change.
Yeah, and I think there's much more to come as well. So to be picking up results where things clearly still haven't quite clicked leaves a lot of areas that we can still improve. And if we improve on those performances, then I think we'll be decent come the end of the season.
That was one of my main talking points this evening. Are you seeing improvements? No matter how big they are or how small they are, but are you seeing general signs of, you know, things getting better?
Yeah, I think so. I think the connection between the players looks much more gelled than it did in the opening week, especially across the back line, I think. Bobby Thomas has probably had a couple of good games again after he dropped off.
I think that was important for him, by the way. Like when he played poorly, like getting dumped out the side, you know, that's good for, you know, to get a guy, get his head sorted out and get it back into the fold. Work hard to get back into the team. He's done that and he's played really, really well this week.
Yeah, exactly. And there, you know, that free partnership's a really solid partnership. And I think that's gelled. I think we've got to be really, really positive about wing-backs. We've now got Sakamoto that looks pretty decent, and he's backup, let's be honest. I think what will happen is I think De Silva will probably rotate more with Sakamoto as Milan's back fully fit. But I think, and then, you know, see what happens after the international break.
That chop back that Sakamoto does, I reckon it's going to be so more effective on the left side than it is on the right, because then he can get a real dangerous, like, in-swinging ball in rather than the outswinger.
Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of thing, isn't it? He had to sort of, like, double chop sometimes to try and get...
Yeah, double judo chop.
Exactly.
We can see it coming a mile away, by the way. How could these professional footballers not see this happening?
Yeah, but I think it's just so effective, isn't it? I know it sounds bad, but you still have to try and block across. And there was a few times that he has been stood off, actually, and I thought the defender read it really well. Not this week. Must have been maybe midweek. Don't know. They're all blurring into one, Dean.
Yeah, so many games of football, right?
yeah,
they all do. They all do feel the same. Let's talk about this game in a bit more detail. thoughts on the team, Dave, because there's four changes. Obviously, this week there's been a huge clamouring for Wright and Sims up top together. And, you know, they got their wish from Mr. Robbins.
Yeah, exactly. And as things panned out, I think there's probably going to be some fixtures where them two would fit together again. But I think as it panned out this week, it was interesting listening to Robbins on CDOER. He was really trying to justify the fact that he went with those two.
Yeah.
And he was trying to justify the way that we stopped them from playing out. Like, you know, that was the...
Like Arsenal just did to Man City.
Yeah, basically. But, you know, like that was the master plan and it was executed really well. And it actually really wasn't. Don't get me wrong. Like, we did force them to go long at times, but... I think in some areas we could have put even more pressure on them if we didn't have Wright that is, you know, not as keen, I guess, to press than, say, Godden, for example. That's the way I'm going
to
put it.
The keen thing is so true. I don't know why Robbins bullshits to the press. Why don't you just say, look, Hadji Wright scored on Wednesday or Tuesday, whenever it was.
Yeah.
Ellis Sims scored two on Saturday.
Yeah.
They're my two strikers. I'm playing two up top, and they're the two who've scored this week, and Matty Godden hasn't scored.
Doug King's saying, you've spent X amount of money, and haven't seen them together on a pitch together. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know.
I mean, that's all he has to say. I've got two strikers who've scored this week. They're in the team. You know, it's not rocket science.
Yeah.
Let's talk Hadji Wright, actually. I mean, it's such a weird one, because I feel like I need to see more from him. Like, he's just not showing enough at the moment, and I'm getting a little bit more apprehensive every time I see him play. And I was thinking last night, like, what's going to be the moment that maybe it switches for him? And I'm kind of holding out hope that it's going to be when the likes of O'Hare and Palmer are back and we kind of have him up front on his own. That might be the system he needs to thrive in, but at the moment he's just not doing it for me.
Yeah. Also concerned. I thought he was a player that gets in behind. I think at Wimbledon he made some really intelligent runs and we just didn't find him. And I thought, okay, here's a player that's got pace, reads, plays off the shoulder like Godden, but's got the pace to get there and will get in behind.
But there's a lovely little Wimbledon one there. He said the two times he did that, he won the penalty and he hit the bar.
Yeah.
So why are we not feeding him these balls more often? That's why I'm kind of holding out hope that the O'Hare and Palmer situation behind him might be the catalyst for that.
Well, that was it. And we saw enough. And that's what I kept saying, actually, that I've seen enough to know the type of player he is and that he'll create chances. But worryingly for me, there was a lovely ball played into him, actually, yesterday. It was the second half because we were kicking towards the Telegraph.
Yeah.
And he just didn't get there.
I was quite shocked.
It was lovely. It was like a bent ball. It wasn't on the floor, but it was... like mid-height, it was clearly going to hit the ground. And it was a bent, curled ball round. I can't remember who played it.
I think it was Ayari.
Right. And it was the perfect one to say, right, that's in behind. Come across, go and attack it and beat your man. And he just didn't get there.
Yeah.
Just didn't want to get there, it looked like. Or was a bit unsure. And I just, that frustrated me really. Because I was like, that seemed to be your bread and butter. And if that isn't, there is some concerns. Because holding it up isn't. And fox in the box isn't. So I don't, you know, the main attribute that I found that you possessed, you haven't shown it when there's a golden opportunity to do that. But look, plenty of time to come, plenty of minutes I'm sure that he'll get. But, and there's different games. Maybe he would be better on as a one up top. I do think from away from home, one up top's going to be... I think Oggy spoke some really good sense on CWR. Actually, I listened to that on the way back. And At least he did,
because the fucking callers don't. Jesus Christ.
But actually, there's some really good... I've actually been really impressed with it the last couple of weeks.
What, for the callers, or...?
Maybe because we just sort of in the car and we banter it, but like...
That's because Rob Gurney's back.
Rob's brilliant, and he also is a little bit tongue-in-cheek at times, and he's sarcastic. He loves it. So
he just needs to take control of those calls, by the way. If he takes control, he'll just
do them all himself and impersonate people.
Not that Ian from Starbridge or whatever it is. Oh God, don't want anyone impersonating him.
But yeah, there's some really interesting points that I think Oggy said the same thing, that we're not talking not even 1 million, like 250 grand Victor Gyökeres that come in on loan, didn't have a great spell at Swansea, didn't really do much. There's enough for Robins to work into and force hard work into him, because that's what they were kind of saying. And it kind of feels to me that Robins shouldn't have to force hard work into an £8 million player, if that makes sense. So it's a little bit worrying, because although there's enough there, I just feel like you shouldn't be spending £8 million to get a player that's not quite there. I know they say they never buy the finished product, and I think Ross Cooper said that a couple of weeks back. I get it, but I don't know. It's frustrating, because Leicester away, we saw that burst of pace and a shot on his wrong foot, and you were like, wow, is he going to do this every week?
He showed willingness that game as well. And I just felt I haven't seen that willingness.
Yeah, to sort of get around the pitch, to, I don't know, just put himself about a little bit. And look, I'm a bit of a traditionalist, and I don't think that I want to see players run around like headless chickens. But I do think that sometimes...
You need to show intent, right? That's
yeah, and if you're not, you know, if you're not potentially getting the goals, which, you know, he scored a couple, but if you're not creating chances, hard work can sometimes create chances. And I think that's why Godden does create a lot of chances for himself, because he's always on the move and always ready to make something happen.
So being obviously the pessimist I am, I kind of like last night I was going through my head, like, who are the top American footballers that I can ever remember? I'm going Clint Dempsey, Brian McBride, and then that's list ends for me.
Yeah.
They don't have a great track record, do they?
No.
Of Americans. And you've got there's been a lot of good players that just haven't hit the heights that they've probably been expected of them. I look at Christian Pulisic at the moment as well, as one who was like touted as the next big thing. He just doesn't hit the heights for me. And I just don't want Hadji Wright to be in that same sort of American bracket of, you know, not actually doing the goods, really.
Yeah, and we sort of talked the same in the car back, in that not from American, but I struggle to remember a player that's done really well at Coventry that was a little bit, I don't want to say the word lazy because it's not the right word, but just a little bit more casual. Is it nonchalant? Is that the word? I don't know, but just a little bit more casual, I think. And I think back to people like maybe Stern John, something like that. And he was probably one of the better players that was in that sort of mould. You know what I mean?
Your Freddie Eastwoods.
Yeah, they're just sort of...
Yeah.
Sort of like
had
pop,
the talent,
pop
and
about, and
you know
and
they
see.
Have the talent, but just don't do it enough.
Yeah, and they kind of, I think players like that, they kind of hang around on someone's mistake. And I can't remember if it was Turkey League or whatever, the Turkish League or whatever it was he was playing before. And mistakes like that might happen a lot. And we've said this before about people gambling on mistakes, they don't happen as much in the Championship. Although, you know, we did get level.
Yeah,
yesterday.
I was about to say, yeah. Did you see the goal they scored? Yeah, those little mistakes. They you're right though, they don't tend to happen as often in the British leagues as they do, especially the top British leagues, as they do in the top European leagues for sure. And one thing I wanted to bring up as well, like yesterday there was like phases of play that we had, and we were so in control and so dominant, but we just don't seem to make the most of them as well.
Yeah,
that's crept in a lot recently, and it's like we're not playing good enough to sort of count that the next phase of play where we are in control, we're going to get a goal from it. Like, we have to take the opportunities, I feel like, when they arise, and I just don't think we're doing that enough.
Yeah, I mean, look, we say this every week, and I do anyway, that every team's going to have a good 10-15 minute period in the game where they look like they should put things to bed. We had a really good spell yesterday in the first half, and we just couldn't, you know, we had a couple of chances. Sims, it wasn't cleared off the line, but he kind of near enough got there before his before the defender and
the bodies were on the line from Norwich yesterday, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was mental.
And I think, you know, so there was a few half chances and we created a lot. I think the problem is that I think it keeps going back to that. I don't want to keep blaming the central midfield, but I feel like sometimes whilst we're overrunning teams, there was some lovely football actually yesterday. It was a really nice passing move. I think there's about a free pass move that Alan slipped one through and we just didn't quite find the right cross. But that was really lovely little bit of play. But I think the players that we've got in there haven't sometimes got the ability to to switch that ball, to really expose the possession that we've made, if that makes sense. So we can go all the way around the back. But, and even though we might move it a bit slow around there, it's hard to then switch that ball. And I'm not going to keep saying the word Hamer.
For the benefit of the tape here, there's a lot of hand movements here from Dave Moore. Yeah. To try and showcase what
articulate.
He
means. but I suppose, you know, we're missing that killer ball, I think, that sometimes can just expose, you know, Eccles hasn't really got that in his locker. Jamie Allen's been trying to play, like, for longer passes. We haven't really got someone that can do that. So I think, you know, we need to go up the pitch as a unit. And I think that will happen when we have maybe a Yari and O'Hare and Palmer back in, and when we've got those two defensive midfielders. You know, I'd like to see Sheaf and Allen.
Well, so when you've got Sheaf there, it just gives the rest of the team that sort of confidence to move forward. I think at the moment, we're probably a little bit apprehensive of moving forward as a team, like you say, because we're scared of what's going to happen behind and who's going to cover that, just in case the worst happens. We lose possession and they break. At the moment, would you say a Yari
30,
has the legs?
Yard.
Does he have the legs to get back? No.
Yeah.
Eccles for me sometimes is like too far ahead of the play of where he should be. And yesterday he had a few bites of the cherry in the box, which I was going to come into later on. But sometimes I just feel like his awareness isn't there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think the problem is I'm not sure he's an out-and-out defensive midfielder. I think when he's played midfield, I'm not saying he's had a free role, but times when he's played midfield has really been mainly in the development league. A bit more time, a bit more space, definitely more time.
Nobody watching,
yeah.
Nobody cheering.
And I think possibly, you know, whereas at right back when he played, let's call it men's level, right, at championship level, everything was coming onto him. So he could see everything that was happening. It was a lot easier. I think in the middle of the park, sometimes he's just a little bit positionally unaware of perhaps where he is.
You've got to have 360 vision, haven't you, in that position? And I don't think he's got that. I just don't think he's got that in the locker.
But that's the same. You know, he's a very young player, right? And that comes with age. The reason why Hamer was able to spray these balls and look like he had loads of time is that he is just a man that is well above his age mentally in football, right? He makes space for himself, he drops off, and that's what gives you that time. Eccles is the same, but Ayari also positionally just very immature, I think is probably the word. And that's not these guys' fault, you know. They're getting picked. They're being played. They're not going to turn up and say, "Actually, Gaffer, I think I'm a little bit positionally immature, so I'm not going to play." You know.
Yeah. Do you mind just throwing me back 10 yards and I'll just sit here or move you forward 10 yards? Yeah, it's not going to happen.
It is what it is, and you can only.
They
get
are basically just filling
experience.
Gaps, aren't they? Because of the situation we're in, and it's like that's no criticism on them doing that role. It's just that they're probably not catered towards playing that role, and you know, it's just part and parcel of where we are at the moment.
Yeah.
One man who did come on in the middle yesterday, was it yesterday? Yeah. Latibodiere. Again, a lot of people have been saying for him to play in the middle of the park, and in that sort of 12-minute cameo he had in that role, I thought he did
number
really
10,
well.
Didn't he? Yeah, I could have a 10 at one point. he crossed a lovely little dink cross. Look, I don't know if 10 minutes on a against the Norwich team that were.
I thought you were going to say on a cold Tuesday night then. I don't think 10 minutes on a cold Tuesday night.
But no, I think, you know, Norwich were camped in their own sort of box by that point. So he was always going to be able to get much further forward. So we'll have to see over a bit of a longer period. But it's good that Robbins has chose to use that as an option. Weirdly, that he hadn't chose to use it earlier. But, you know, once Kelly got injured.
Yeah, no choice, yeah. Let's go to the goals then. Let's talk about their goal first. Rowe with the goal to put Norwich up just before the break. Pretty poor from our point of view, I think, Dave, because we had possession of the ball and, you know, the danger was clear, and then all of a sudden the ball's stolen off Eccles. I don't know what he's trying to do with that at that point. And it's, you know, it's pretty simple stuff from there on in. Two players sort of attracted to the ball at back heel, and Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a bit bad all round, wasn't it? It's one of those things that with each phase of that play, you just become more stretched and stretched and stretched until it's just the inevitable is going
to
happen.
Pure panic mode, isn't it?
Yeah,
once,
exactly.
Once you lose the ball to begin with, it's then everybody panic.
Yeah, that should have come to Jay De Silva and he should have just booted it. Like, Eccles had a 5-yard pass and then just absolutely hammer it. You know, and actually he did really, really well to win it in the first place. Like, done really well to win it, done the hard part. Then he's been had it nicked off of him. Kitchen and Fads, you know, showed us that they haven't played that much together.
Yeah.
Probably even in training, because we know that most of the time they train with, you know, the team that's going to start or whatever. So, yeah, that wasn't great. And then that was it. I think Ben Wilson probably could have done a little bit better or got a bit more behind the
ball.
Yeah,
a couple of people said that. I just think his view wasn't the greatest to see it. There was a couple of bodies in the way. And yes, okay, maybe he should get down a bit quicker, but I'm not gonna hold that one against him, to be honest. There's plenty of opportunities before that it should have been dealt with.
He probably thought it was going to get hammered as well. So he kind of then, you look like he sort of like was going to react and he sort of delayed his reaction and almost fell to the ground. And I think that's sometimes you expect someone to rifle that, and he didn't really get anything on it. He just toe poked it in. And yeah, bad all round, but we really did limit them to, they had quite a little bit down the left-hand side.
Yeah, that McCallum chance, wasn't it? Playing the ball. Again, we lost the ball then for them to get that ball across the box. They probably should have scored from that, to be fair. But you're right, the limitations on a team that does have a couple of threats. I mean, that Sara is a top player for them. They didn't bring a lot to the table, I thought, yesterday.
Well, this is the thing. Like,
was that the chance to break the hoodoo? 14 years.
Yeah, and not even the hoodoo, in the fact that, like, people are saying, oh, you know, this team have starting to knit together, and then they've not, you know, we've not had a result against Norwich or been that close to be getting a result against Norwich for a long time. And I think, about how much is that on Norwich? Like, you know, when we've played them in years gone by, Pookie has been like at the top of his game, you know, but that wasn't really there yesterday. They were time wasting from the 20th minute. They were not picking out passes. Amount of unforced errors I saw yesterday on both sides, but especially Norwich, who are usually a really well drilled passing team. You know, how much of it is that they were bad and, you know, we kind of limited them to chances as well. So I think there's a bit of both there. But
yeah, I'm just trying to get Matt Robbins' comments up, because it's funny you say that. Like, you know, he kept saying, like, oh, we're due one against Norwich and all that sort of stuff. And
yeah, I feel like a lot's been made of that.
Yeah.
That I've seen a lot of comments on Twitter to say we've never really ever been close to Norwich. And I think, yeah, but they got whacked 6-3, didn't they? Or whatever, by someone the other week. So yeah. they're not the Norwich of old, are they? If they're playing
for sure,
like that.
Yeah.
And everything you see, I mean, I, you know, follow a couple of lads from the TNC podcast and you see that their comments pop up every now and again. And it's not been that optimistic from what we've heard. So
yeah, I can't find those Matt Robbins comments, but he basically echoed that to say, like, why haven't we done better against Norwich? And, you know, yesterday was an improvement against Norwich, but why does it matter who we play?
It's odd barometer, that.
Yeah, it's I thought it was peculiar comments. I gave him some kudos in the week for saying his comments were justified.
Kudos. One for the bingo. Without even Ross in the chat.
Mark it off. There'll be some plenty more. You'll probably need I am done for a full house at this point.
You've had, you know, quite a lot.
You know, and so, exactly. You've come in with a couple of exactlys tonight as well. The fans will be going absolutely ballistic. We talked about Josh Eccles. Who's next on the list to talk about?
Next on the list.
I've got a list of people I just want to talk about and slag off. But one player.
Just see it. If there's a dartboard behind Dean's head. No, it's not. But
and the voodoo
not
dolls.
Yet.
Yeah, for sure. Milan van Ivek is the next name on the list. Obviously, a huge boost having him back in the squad yesterday. But when he came onto the pitch, it seemed like the crowd lifted.
Yes. Well, because he gives you that pace and that energy, doesn't he?
Yeah, and obviously we got the goal from positive play from him. Hell of a header from Gibson.
Yeah,
our keeper had no chance.
Yeah.
What about the North Stand?
It was, yeah.
Have you heard a sound like that since someone wouldn't kick it for a ticket like 6 years ago? I haven't heard anything like that since then.
Yeah, but Milan, you know, without adding to the bingo, Rolls Royce, isn't he? Rolls Royce.
And for your full house.
Here we are.
Four corners, that is. Four corners.
Yeah. But no, he is. He was class. I'm actually really impressed with the two wing backs so far. And I think that's probably where our sort of out balls are actually going to be.
It's we been just our need Achilles to get the ball out there quicker. In the past, hasn't it? That
wing 100%.
Back position. And it was, for now, it, was like, our, it looks great, that them roles.
It was our best asset, wasn't it? With Dabo in the early days in League One.
McCallum.
And then we had, what's the other lad?
Matson.
Yeah, and the other one. And Borough. He was at Borough, now he's at West Brom, is he?
Oh, Ryan Giles.
Oh, no, he's in the Premiership now.
Luton. Not
Giles.
For long, but there you go.
Yeah. He's in for Luton till May. I think... And then we kind of lost it, didn't we? Dabo went backwards a little bit. Then we had the sort of Bidwell stuff at left back, and he wasn't, you know, a very solid player, but very much traditional left back, it felt, than the going forward one. So it's really nice to see that energy. And I think once we get players that can get the ball out there a bit quicker to sort of expose the gaps that are there, whereas at the moment we're kind of going all the way round and then players are having to run at players, which is fine. You know, Milan's done that quite a few times. Weird that he didn't take the long throws yesterday. I don't know what's...
Yeah, they didn't come into the fold, yeah.
Weird though, wasn't it, that? Because
especially because
you've
got Thomas, Fads, Kitchen, Sims.
But right at the end of the game, we had like two
lads.
Throws.
Yeah, you're right, yeah, 100%.
His injury wasn't anything to do with his arms.
No. Can't lift him above his head, I've heard. No, didn't he do the... He threw the ball in, didn't he, for the goal? He was the one who did the foul throw.
Yeah. But I was fully expecting like a long throw and we just didn't see it.
You know what? I'm glad you mentioned about those sort of balls in behind in the corners, because you got to feel a bit sorry for Louis Binks, because he's been dropped now. He's got that in the locker and he's not had Milan Van Ivac on that right hand side for the last three games he's played to pop that ball over that he's got in the locker. Yeah. So.
I must admit, Kitchen's got forward as well yesterday.
Yeah.
A lot of people say about how Binks can bring the ball forward and can get into some forward positions, but at one point he was like 12 yards from goal. Like,
he's a marauder, isn't he?
He loves it. He loves it.
He's the big Mo, isn't he, of today?
I hope so.
Just moving
I'd love
forward.
To see it. But yeah, no, I quite like Kitchen. I think he'll come really well. I think he'll come really good.
That's what his missus said as well. We talked about the centre halves the other day, and it just feels like we're really, really solid in that position, because you've got Latibodia and Thomas, you've got Fads. Thomas can probably play in that role as well. Kitchen and Binks there. I think we're really, really well set, considering we started this, you know, started the summer with just Fads in that role.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the goals have been from mistakes rather than which.
Bad,
you know, almost contradicts
work, yeah.
That, but it's there's still a bit of chat that needs to go on. There's still a bit of, you know, maybe a bit of confidence, a bit of gelling, all of that sort of stuff. But I think as individuals, they're very, very good players. Bobby Thomas is class, and yeah. I know he's had a few shockers, but he's a really good player. Kitchen's clearly a good player and solid. We know what we're going to get with Fads, and Lats is similar, isn't he? He's a very good player. So. We're really, really solid, but more like not just as a unit individually. I think they all look you'd have to pick them out as class defenders in the league.
Yeah, 100%. And I think
which is
them having
frustrating,
more games,
isn't it? Because we've not really spent we've spent money, but not really spent the money at that end of the pitch. And I think the biggest concern and the biggest lack of quality at the moment is at the other end, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think once that sort of defense, let's say the defensive five get more games together under their belt, I think that's a seriously impressive back line, both in an attacking phase and a defending phase as well. I think that's, you know, I think we've seen from Jay De Silva that he has both of those in his locker, going up and down the pitch all day long. And Milan had a couple of iffy games defensively, but before the injury, he started to look like a proper defender as well.
We're also in a good position to go like 4-3-3 if we have to.
100%. Yeah, I think we
might. 4-3-3 and my maths.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that is quick maths. Yeah. Was it? What was it? A GCSE?
Let's not talk about it.
You're right because we can play sort of a defense. As part of that free in midfield, you could even put Milan as part of that free.
I think, and then at four, you've got a really solid, haven't you? Lats on the right, Kitchen, Binks, even if you want. But I think the solid ones are probably Thomas, Fads, Lats, and Kitchen, right?
Yeah.
Actually got that left, and he's a proper centre-back. So I think that four is becoming more and more of an option once we do get some players like Cal back and Palmer back, if we want to.
Especially away from home.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just dropped my phone. That allows you to play the one up top with the two behind. And then you've got like a really, really active midfield then. So, you know, there's options there for Mark Robbins.
But the other thing is you've got that defensive solidness to allow the others to go forward. Whereas I think at the moment it's like okie cokie in it. They don't know whether to go or not or who's going to go because then they've got to get back. So you've got Eccles, Allen, you know, even Allen's playing at times a little bit more reserved. It's definitely not as far forward as he's been in previous seasons at times. So, you know, I think that would be helpful, yeah.
And the final name I've got on my dartboard list in one is Sakamoto. I thought he had a really, really top game yesterday. Both sides of the pitch, he was active and so unlucky not to score. I think the roof would have been lifted off the CBS if that had gone in. I thought he looked really good yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he should have gone with his foot on that, to be honest.
Looking back at it,
probably about a decent height for a volley.
He is quite small.
he is, yeah. It would have just hit him in the bollocks.
but straight, it goes in.
Yeah, exactly. It's, but the same, you know, he's. I was going to say use his head. Well, obviously, say the obvious. But no, he did. You know, he sort of saw it rising and thought, actually, he tried to adjust to try and get something on it, didn't he? So,
and anticipation as well. Should great anticipation.
That's what I kind of say, yeah. I think it was, he read it well, didn't he? So, yeah, he looked really good yesterday. I think it's so weird, actually. I don't really ever previously thought massively about tactics. It sounds stupid. You've just got some really good individuals. But I actually think we're going to have to adapt to who we're playing. And teams where we're going to have a lot of possession against, where we're going to control the game, I'd be more than happy to have Sakamoto because he's very good attacking and he's got that cross. If we were going to have a team come against us like Borough or someone there, they're going to try and camp you in your own box and your own half and push you back and keep the ball and keep possession. I'm not sure he'd be the right player for that.
I'm in agreement.
Defensively, he's probably struggles a little bit, not just positions, but, you know, tracking back and just he's a bit lightweight, isn't he? Like, as well. So I think there's definitely a role for him to play, but it's probably when we're going to be controlling the game rather than the other team controlling us, I think.
And his English is coming along really, really nicely as well. And much better than me and my Japanese, I have to admit.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Or my English, some people might say.
I mean, it's a tough ask, I think, to go out to the Coventry community to see if someone is going to be able to help.
There was an SOS, wasn't there, in the paper? So good.
Yeah.
Can you help this man?
Yeah. You know, the closest most of Cov have come to Japan is going to Wasabi for a katsu.
I'm going
to
say Wagamama's, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. Wagamama's, yeah.
Wasabi, it's very London-based, isn't it, Wasabi?
Yeah, I don't think
it's a countrywide thing. But yeah, you're
right. I don't know. I haven't looked at their store locator in a while.
For a katsu, yeah. And I suppose, like, with him, like, being more confident in, like, his English, he'll be more confident, like, around the team. Build that, you know, you saw in the squad building thing at the bowling, they're all getting him involved a bit more. So you think he'll come into his own a bit because he's obviously got some talent. We've seen it from videos. It's going to be difficult for him to begin.
The bowling day. I mean,
let's
I don't
not talk
think
about Callum O'Hare's bowling technique.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd hate to see that down the local bowling alley. But I don't know. I presume we must have done that stuff in the past. And we know the lads had a really good relationship. And we know that, you know, people were kind enough to pay for them to go to like the boxing and stuff like that, like in the past, right? So there's been a lot of days.
Does that come out the season ticket fund?
Yeah. But at the same time, it was nice to see that because clearly Robins probably feels that they still need to gel on a different level to training. Because it has been a big turnover, isn't it?
Yeah, like when you just said there, did they do this stuff before? I'm not sure. Like they probably did on the level they're doing now because of it was only small turnovers each year, wasn't it? It wasn't like a huge overhaul like this year. So maybe those things are needed. But I thought also
what's next then? Drayton Manor, maybe.
Yeah,
Cadbury's World,
Halloween, Cadbury World. Yeah, what a place.
Yeah,
what
it's only out the road, Bourneville.
Yeah, Bourneville, yeah. And they might get access to the staff shop as well, which everything becomes like 60% off.
Go and see the old home ground for old time's sake.
Yeah, that would be a good day out. I'd love to see the content from there. There's that little ride where you're getting like I'm showing my age here, but you're getting like a little cocoa bean and you go around like a village.
My favourite bit about Cocoa World, you've done me there. My favourite thing about Cadbury World is they just usher everyone past the history part.
Get past it.
Don't worry about this, about the Amazon. Here's a fudge.
That's to say, they entice you at the end of the corridor with a crunchy. Come on.
And then the rest is just all chocolate wonderfulness. You know? It's like, oh, don't worry about, you know, that, but anyway.
We have gone completely off topic. I can guarantee you Cadbury World was not on my dartboard to talk about this evening. But one final thing on the dartboard is a man of the match for this game from you. Obviously some standout performances. We spoke about Thomas Sakamoto. Anyone else that sort of caught your eye, shall we say?
Oh, difficult actually, because I think no one had a real standout performance, I don't think. But I think
no one had a stinker either.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of people had a good game. Difficult, isn't it? I don't know. Might have to
Eccles gets star man on who scored. If it was me, I'd give it to Sakamoto. I just thought everything sort of that we had intent-wise came from him.
Yeah, and I thought Allen had a good game. But I think it's funny, star man, Eccles was really involved, actually. You know, he was involved in a lot of stuff that broke down or came through him. He was involved a lot. So I don't know. Yeah, maybe I'll sit on the fence on this one. I've not really got a standout player, I don't think. Can I do that? No? Dean's looking at me like I can't.
I'm not going to say anything.
All right.
I was going to head into a break there and just let you stew on it. But if you want to sit on the fence a bit more and contemplate an actual man of the match.
Yeah, I mean, no, go on. I'll join you with Sakamoto.
We don't give out an award, so if you want to sit on the fence like you normally do, go for it.
Yeah, fine. Sakamoto.
Well, I changed the habit of a lifetime.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, we're headed to the international break now for the Sky Blues. A nice couple of weeks off. Just one defeat, Dave, in 10 games. And being at home. And for a team, let's say, who hasn't sort of gelled or played anywhere we think near their capabilities, huge gaps in the squad, obviously the injuries as well. It's not really as bad as social media is making it out to be, is it?
No, I think the expectation levels, rightly so, are really, really high. Rightly so.
because of the playoff final appearance.
Exactly, and it's very hard to ignore that. It doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. So I'm sure everyone that says, "Oh, we should be this, we should be that," believes that it doesn't mean anything, and it doesn't mean that this team is going to get to those sort of echelons again. But that we've really dropped a few points where we should have won, and it's a shame because we'd actually be in a really good position had we have completed those and got over the line. But on the face of it, no, it's not. If you look at it, unbeaten. What is it? 10? Something.
What,
like that.
1-10? Yeah, just that Cardiff game.
Yeah. It's really mad. Good.
Yeah, and we're only 3 points off the playoffs.
Unbeaten at home, is that right?
Unbeaten at home, yeah. Not many teams are still unbeaten at home. That's...
And you're only minutes really away from a win at Huddersfield. I thought we probably should have beat Watford, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
So,
we've only lost twice this season, and only Ipswich and Leicester have lost less games, and they're first and second in the league, so... It's those draws, isn't it? I think Milan said on Instagram today that great to be back in the team, but he's not happy with the amount of draws that we're getting. So, I suppose that's a little bit annoying because we're not turning some of those ones where we have been in the ascendancy into 3 points. That's probably the most annoying part.
The quality at the top end hasn't quite got there yet. I think Robbins has got a part to play on that in that he's rotated that quite a lot and he doesn't really know what his best striker option is. So, if you're coming on for 20 minutes, like Sims was getting 10 minutes at the start, he's only really come into the fold recently, right? Apart from Godden, there's no one that's been like a fixed, permanent relationship there for strikers. So, I think there's a little bit on Robbins, which is fine. He's got the start of the season to work things out. He's probably frustrated himself because pre-season he mixed it up and everyone showed, apart from Wright, I think, because I don't know when he came in quite late.
No, we were still looking at him for a tree at this point, yeah.
Yeah, pre-season, yeah, yeah. So, Sims was showing some really good signs and Godden, obviously. So I think he's probably... took a bit of time to understand what his strike partnership, but I think he knows now. I think he knows it's going to be Godden and Sims.
Yeah, one thing I want to bring up is that when we return from international breaks, we seem to come back with this lull. I look at what happened last time, it was that 1-1 draw versus Hull and that awful defeat at Cardiff where we were really, really poor that night. I'm hoping that it won't be that way this time round, mainly because we've got Sheaf, O'Hare and Palmer all potentially back in the fold for that first game back. Do you think that sort of will give the squad a boost, not in return in terms of having those players back available to us, but a boost to say we're a good side now, we've got a really, really good squad and we can, we can go for it at this point?
Yeah, I think Bristol City is quite a difficult trip. First game back, really. They're a funny team. And then you've got Rotherham midweek. So the games being both away is always tricky to go away. So I don't know if it would be so much of a lull, but it's not easy, is it? Turn it around, going straight away. You'd really want it to be a home game for that first fixture. So being on the road for both of them, and then you're sort of a really tricky tie against West Brom on the Monday. It's a lot of people are saying this next section of the fixture list looks really easy. I'm not sure it does, really.
Is it ever that easy in this league?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? And going away from home back to back is never that easy. And then
Preston in that period, and we know what happens up there.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, December's a joke, so we've got to get some points in the sort of last parts of October and November, because December is an absolute car crash of a fixture list.
It's just so many games as well.
Yeah, yeah. But lots of fun for travelling supporters. Good fixtures.
Just trying to count how many we got there. 7 fixtures in December. And obviously that Christmas period, 23rd, 26th, 29th, and the 1st as well. So it's 4 games in 8 days.
Yes.
It's mad.
It is a busy period.
I mean, that's why they need these players.
They're all over the place as well, right? There's Leeds, there's Sheffield in there. There's
the away trips, yeah. Leeds, yeah. Sunderland, Middlesbrough.
Sunderland, that's it. Yeah.
In those Christmas fixtures, yeah. So it's, yeah. Mental.
A lot
period.
Of travelling, you know. So not a lot of time on the training ground, really.
For sure, and that's why we've got to come back from this international break kind of firing on cylinders. So we've got stuff in the bag that we, you know, when it does get tricky, it will get tricky. There'll be, you know, some things to overcome during that period. Then we've got some points in the bag. Are you happy with the progress we've made?
Yeah, I am. I think there's a lot to be optimistic about. I just think the real disappointment is that front end, really.
Not replacing Hamer.
Yeah, that's a big one. I think that's the hardest one to take, is that we didn't go all out for Swift, because he obviously wanted out in a way. We
and
were
he's
obviously
banging
very
him in.
Keen. Yeah, exactly. He's got two, hasn't he, in this same number of weeks.
Yeah, yeah, that's the disappointment.
So I think it's a shame that we didn't do that, and now it's a bit desperate in January to see what's going to be around, and you've got to wait to January, obviously. So I think that's a bit of a tough one. We've shown that that's the area that we're actually having difficulties in, and we just need Hadji Wright and Sims to start firing. I think there's a really good player in Sims. I think he just needs to get that confidence and regular football. You know, he hasn't played. He's also very young. I think people forget how young some of these players are.
I think because we've heard his name so often over the last few years, doing things north of the border and obviously at Sunderland, etc. We kind of feel like him as some kind of veteran, but he's not. He's still 22, 23, something
like
22, that.
Yeah, 22, I think. 22, yeah. He's really young. And, you know, he's a confidence player. Robbins has said that, like, out in the open, right, which means that clearly, you know, he's trying to nurture that and get him to be more confident, and you can see that he looks quite a shy sort of player. And he made a really good comment, I think, in a recent pod around he's not sure if he's like nasty enough, and you know, you have got to be a bit arrogant really sometimes to be a top tier striker. And I think
they've all got a bit of prickness about them, haven't they?
Yeah,
they all,
exactly.
All of them do.
Yeah, and you know, love him or hate him, depending on whether you've been blocked or not. But I love Matty Godden. but Matty Godden's got that streak.
Yeah.
You know? And that's when Matty Godden scores, even if he hasn't had it from the away fans, sometimes he'll go and give it him.
Give
it
him,
just for the fun of it. Because he loves it.
Just for the lols, yeah.
But you've got to have that about you, because that's what I think makes you a competitive. A bit. Matty Godden looks like a born winner to me. His attitude, having spoke to him and everything about him, he is just a born, you know, born winner, and wants to compete. And I think you've got to have that streak in you.
We need that across the board though as well, don't we? Across the whole team. That has to be instilled into everybody that, you know, we have to fight. You know,
yeah, I don't think there's been much made about how young the team is as well.
Yeah, it is young, yeah.
I don't think there's been enough made about how young the team is. You look across that middle of the park, all right, you take Jamie Allen out of it, but Eccles, you know, Sheaf's not really old. I don't know what he is. He's mid-20s?
22, 23 maybe?
If that, yeah. So, you know, and at the top,
Eccles 23, Sheaf 25,
yeah.
Thomas 22, Binks 22,
yeah.
Latabrelier 23, Ayari 20.
20, Ayari, 20. That was the one that I was after. You know,
Van Evac 23, Sims 22.
I think Ayari's the one for me that you can see there's a real, real player there. I mean, I know we can't, but if we could sign a player, everyone would probably be screaming at me now saying, are you having a laugh? No, he will turn into a really, really good player. He reminds me of what Ben Sheaf was when he first came to us.
Yeah, very raw.
You can see the quality and that little bit of quality. He did that double drab back on the halfway line, I think, against Huddersfield. He's ghosted around a few people and put one on the bar the other night. He's just got that extra little bit of quality, I think.
Well, he showed it in the summer in those Premier League internationals for Brighton. Okay, yeah. Brighton are so ahead of us in terms of style and play and stuff, and he shone in that team during those games. So
he just needs to come of age in terms of his other parts of the game, which is spatial and positional.
But it's difficult to learn that in the Championship as well. It's probably the hardest league to actually learn all that stuff.
Yeah, it is, because you just don't get a minute's peace, do you? Really?
But it might be the making of him to learn in this division. So maybe like now he's getting a little bit more of a run in the team, maybe he'll start to pick up that little bit, hopefully.
But what were we talking about how are we happy where we are? Absolutely, you've got to be. Like we should have picked up more points than we have, and I'm not bothered that we haven't. It is what it is, and I'm not going to start pointing fingers, but I think that's really positive. It's a really tight league there's a lot of other teams that would be doing podcasts this weekend that would be saying exactly the same about going into the international break as we are. I think like your Millwall, they would be really confused about how that is. They get absolutely hammered at home to Leeds. They look really odd. Then they have the Swansea game, and then actually they're picking up points against a decent Hull side. So it's like, it's difficult. I think everyone will be saying the same as us. And it's so tight down there that it's good. We're not where Sheffield Wednesday are, were we?
No, definitely not. We're only 3 points on the board for them. Right, let's look forward to this international break. Let's look forward to the return. Dave, thanks very much for joining me this evening on the podcast.
Pleasure.
A nice way to end things off. Sky Blue Army, enjoy the next 2 weeks, not having to think about the Sky Blues and how bad you think we are. We'll be back, obviously, in the next couple of weeks to preview our next fixture, which is against Bristol City. In the meantime, if you have anything to say, join in the conversation using the hashtag SBE Podcast or search us on socials. Just search at Sky Blues Extra.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.